The human body is actually composed of the common elements of the earth. Even the proportion of each element has been determined by scientists. But what makes it live or die? I'll be back in a moment with the amazing facts. Hello, this is Joe Cruz on the Amazing Facts broadcast, facts which affect you. In our last broadcast, we introduced the intriguing subject of life after death, or what is a soul? What happens to an individual when death comes? This is a question that has perplexed people right down through the ages. What is the soul? We're going back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, to get God's definition of a soul. Now, friends, God knows. We may not know and understand it all, but he certainly has the answer for us. Notice this text. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now here's God's own definition of it. Let no man think that he can improve on it. We might put it in a little formula like this. Body plus breath equals soul. That's all there is to it. A body plus the breath of life. And we have no longer a body and a breath, but we have a combination known as a soul. That's the first and general definition in the Bible concerning a soul. We're souls. I'm a soul. You're a soul. A living, walking, talking, living human being is a soul. Now the word soul is used to mean two other things also in the Scripture, at least two. It's used in some cases to mean life itself. One example of this is Job 12:10. In whose hand is the soul of every living thing? Well, of course, that's talking about life itself. And then the third definition is the mind or the intellect. An example of soul being used this way is found in Psalms 139:14. And that my soul knoweth right well. So there you have three definitions. They mean almost the same thing. They've overlapped till there is really very little difference. It's easy to tell what's meant by the context. A few verses before, a few verses after, and you can easily see which of the meanings is required. Now, some people might say, oh my, that really confuses me. But you know, friends, we don't need to be confused with it at all. It's a very common thing in the English language for a word to mean more than one thing. You take, for example, the word air. It can mean several things. It can mean what we're breathing right now, that kind of air. It can mean the melody of a song. It can mean a person's hearing. We say sometimes his bearing. It's a person's attitude. We say he had a haughty air. All these three things. But we know what it means by how it's used in the sentence or paragraph. Now, it's the same way with these three meanings of the word soul. But it doesn't make any difference which definition you use. It takes a combination of two things to make that soul. It takes a body plus breath. You have to have both of them or you'll never have a soul, regardless of which definition you want to use. It does make any difference about that. If it means life, you must have body plus breath. If it means intellect, you must have body plus breath, or you don't have a soul. The general usage in the Bible is a person, a personal being. Now let me ask you a question, and I really want you to answer to your own heart. If a body plus the breath makes a living soul, then what happens to that soul if the breath is taken away? Well, it would die. That's surely correct. It's the truth. Now, I know that many folks will almost start up in horror and say, a soul die? Well, that's ridiculous. That's impossible. I've always heard that souls never die. Yes, friends, I've heard the same thing in my life as well. But let's see what God says about it. This is the important thing. It's not what man thinks, it's what God says. Listen to this in Ezekiel 18:20. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. That is D-I-E, friends. Now, if the soul was naturally immortal, it could never die. But God himself says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. So, on the authority of God's word, souls do die after all. Now, let's review a little. We've covered some of this very quickly, and I want to be sure we're together on it. Point number one, the spirit that returns to God when a man dies is the breath of life. Point number two, the breath or spirit of every person who dies, whether he's evil or good, returns to God. And point number three, body plus breath equals a living soul. So we are all souls. Point number four, souls do die. But I know you have a question, and I know what it is. I'm sure I anticipate it right now. You're saying, I don't understand where the soul goes. What happens to it anyway? Well, now let's try to illustrate that. Suppose I have some boards here and some nails. Two things. Then I take these boards, and with a hammer, I drive the nails in and make a box. So, boards plus nails equal a box. Now, in the same way, we have a body. And we take the breath and put into that body, and we get a soul. Now, listen, friends, supposing I didn't want the box any longer, so I took a hammer, pulled the nails out, and put them in a little stack, and put the boards back down on the other side. What happened to the box? Well, you say it just isn't anymore. It ceases to exist. And that's right. It takes a combination of those two things to make a box. When you take the two things apart, you don't have a box any longer. But now listen. You have a body, you put in the breath, and you get the soul. But suppose you take the breath away and just leave the body. My friends, you don't have the soul anymore, just as you didn't have the box any longer. Now, we could illustrate it the same way with a light bulb. If I push the button, the electricity flows into that light bulb, and you have a light as a result. Now, if I subtract the electricity, I have only a bulb. There is no light. It works the same way, once again, with a soul. Breath and body, a combination of the two things, makes a soul. Separate one from the other, and the soul no longer exists. Just remember that you must have those two things in combination, or there is no such thing as a living soul. The Bible is exceedingly clear on that. If one is gone, then the soul is no more. That's the way the Scripture regards it all the way through. It's wonderful to see the agreement of the Bible and to see how one prophet agrees with another and one apostle agrees with another all the way through. I'm sure you remember the story in the New Testament about Jairus, it's in the book of Luke, in fact. He was one of the rulers of the Jews, a ruler of the synagogue, in fact. His little daughter was ill, and so I suppose after he had tried a number of things, he finally sent across town, and he said to call the master Jesus to come quickly. In fact, he sent this word. He said, "My little girl is sick unto death." And so they called Jesus, and he started across the city, but the crowds pressed around him, and he could hardly get through. He was delayed, and finally the little girl died. So Jairus sent his messenger, saying that it was too late for Christ not to worry that she had died. Well, Jesus ignored that completely and went on over to the home. He put out the professional mourners, you remember, and went into that little girl's side and raised her back to life. Now, did you ever notice what the Scripture record says about that in Luke 8, 52-55? It says this, "And her spirit came again." Now, what does that mean? Well, it means precisely what it says. When she died a few hours before, or maybe even a few moments before, her spirit returned to God who gave it. Her breath, in other words, as we discovered in our study in the last broadcast. Now, when Christ came and called her back to life, her breath came forth again when the hand of God touched that body, and she got up and walked out. Another example is the case of Jesus on the cross. You remember he said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit," Luke 25:46. It's the same thing exactly. He knew that the breath returned to God. It would be given back to him early Sunday morning when he was raised from the tomb. Stephen, the first Christian martyr, was stoned to death outside the city because he dared uphold the name of Jesus. And as he was dying, he said, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." He understood the Bible doctrine that we're teaching right here, because it was a doctrine that was being taught from the beginning of creation. The spirit, or the breath, goes back heavenward when a man dies. It returns to God. So this is not a new thing at all. It was taught 3,000 years ago by the great prophet and singer of Israel, David. In Psalms 104:29, he said, "Thou hidest thy face, they are troubled. Thou takest away their breath, they die and return to their earth. Their dust. Thou sendest forth thy spirit, they are created, and thou renewest the face of the earth." You see the same thing exactly, friends, and that was preached 3,000 years ago. The breath is taken away, the people die. The spirit is sent forth, and they are created. The fact is that breath and spirit are both exactly the same thing. But now let's review a few facts again about the soul. Point number one, the word soul, or the word translated soul, is used 852 times in the Bible. Soul, not spirit, we've already talked about that earlier. That was 948 times, but here the word soul, 852 times. Point number two, never in any of these references is it given any existence apart from the body. Point number three, never in any of those 852 references does it have any life or activity or knowledge or personality separated from the body. Point number four, always in all of these references is the soul pictured as something that's short-lived. Never is it deathless or immortal. The natural, undying, immortal soul is absolutely unknown, friends, as far as the Bible is concerned. It just isn't there. And with 852 opportunities all through the Bible, if the great men of God had something to say about an undying, immortal soul, it seems strange that no one ever mentioned it. There's a reason, of course, and the reason is that the soul is not undying or immortal at all. And then point number five, never once in all the Word of God is it anywhere stated that the soul goes back to God. Now, I've heard that repeated over and over again. Maybe you have too. That your soul returns to God at death. But that's not in the Bible. It just isn't found there at all. Point number six, at death the soul ceases to exist. Now, I put that in because it needs reemphasized. At death, the soul ceases to exist until the combination is made again and the breath of life is put into that body once more in the resurrection day. And then the individual will be resurrected and there will be life. All right, let's go to point number seven. Even the fish of the sea are called souls. The text is Revelation 16:3. You read it, and if you study, you'll be aware of the fact that anything that has a body plus breath is a soul. And that applies to animals, fish, birds, anything that has a body and is alive. Now the question comes. Then you say that man's soul is not immortal? Well, no, I'm not saying it at all. I'd rather God himself say it, and that's what he does do. If you'll just read 1 Timothy 6:13 and 1 Timothy 6:16, you'll understand for yourself, because this is what it says. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who only hath immortality. Now notice, man does not have it. God has it. By nature, man is mortal and subject to death. Now let me ask you something else in closing. Could words be put together that would be plainer than these? This text specifically says, God only hath immortality. No one else does, not even the angels of heaven. God only hath immortality. So once again I say, the immortal soul of man is simply just not in the Bible at all, and the Bible teaches the exact opposite. And now, this is Joe Cruz saying goodbye for today.